God saves us not because of what we do. Rather, God is a God of mercy and salvation who graciously cleanses us in baptism and renews our lives through the Holy Spirit. Our reading this morning comes from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This saying is sure. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who says, I do, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been on this journey which is a lifelong journey, but more specifically in the last few weeks, taking this journey of digging deeper into the meaning of our baptism. We began this journey just as we began our own baptismal journey with the sharing and experiencing of the same baptism in which Christ was baptized. One in which God names us as God's beloved, God's very own beloved child, and one that God names us, claims us, as one with whom God is well pleased. In this, informing who we are in relationship to whose we are. Baptism, this tangible gift of God promising and declaring forgiveness of sins, rescuing us from death and the devil, and the gift of eternal salvation. Because God chooses to love us this way. Because God chooses us to love us in this way. And in our baptism, we enter into a covenant or a promise with God. The promise to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of Christ, of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and finally to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. And it's in this promise that we respond, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. So what happens after we make this promise? What happens after the I do? If you recall, in this series, I've talked about this covenant being a gift from God. A gift in that these five promises have the potential to deepen our understanding and to draw us into Jesus, all the while enacting God's kingdom here on earth today and every day. These gifts are not a to-do list, rather a reorientation into daily life, one that is in Christ, one from which these gifts naturally flow from us. This is what we call discipleship, being a follower of Christ. And so begins our daily claiming and rediscovering of God-given gifts of discipleship. Fully engulfed in God's unconditional love, no matter where we are at. No matter where we are at on this journey, God's unconditional love meets us there. And so discipleship is our response to this love, this grace that God freely gives us. It's a response to the call of Jesus to follow him in a lifelong journey. Because there are no sidelines in this journey. It is a way of life. It's not knowledge-based content that must be learned or a list of do's and don'ts. But faith is something that is as rhythmic as inhaling and exhaling. How do we practice our faith? I believe first we begin with relying on God's own Spirit to provide everything that we need. Luther writes in the third article of the Creed, explaining, "I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and made me holy, kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith." On a daily basis, we are invited to hear, to live, to hear, to share, to proclaim, to serve, to strive in the name of Christ. And it is God who is the one who guides and shapes us in that living of our baptisms. It's God who is present with us in our new life in Christ as we practice this each and every day. And it's with these five gifts that we have guidance to do so along that journey. Brothers and sisters, practice in itself is a journey. It is through many hours of learning, doing, making mistakes, and trying over and over again that makes something second nature. I think of my mother, who now is a wonderful baker and chef, that she'll tell you that the very first loaf of bread she ever made, she could have thrown through the wall. Now, this is an old farmhouse built in the 70s that not only had drywall, but they also had about a half an inch of plaster on it. So they're hard as cement. But she said that loaf of bread would have busted through that wall. But through hours of practice, of not giving up, she now runs a catering business, a bakery out of the old farmhouse. It takes a little bit of practice. I love how Richard Rohr puts it. We do not think ourselves into new ways of living. We live ourselves into new ways of thinking. Hear that again. We do not think ourselves into new ways of living. Rather, we live ourselves into new ways of thinking. A life of faith is one that is practiced. It's one that transforms, it reorients us to how God sees creation. So we practice. And we practice, we make mistakes, we certainly do it without perfection. But we practice for the sake of our neighbor. Because we are a people of God's grace, brothers and sisters. We are a people of God's grace, sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. We don't have to do faith practices to earn favor from God. We don't have to practice our faith, and there aren't any oughts in this faith response. It is far from it. It is quite the opposite. These gifts are not laws. Instead, we respond freely to God's love made known in Jesus Christ. And we get to put our faith into practice. We get to practice our faith in daily life. This is what God has entrusted to us as gift. And at all times, all times we have these opportunities to both receive and reflect God's love. Whether we are new or mature in the faith, an extrovert or an introvert, young or old, we continually are renewed and strengthened through the Holy Spirit to follow Christ as well as to share God's love with others. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to God's self through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not continuing their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." We hear this word reconciliation a number of times in that text, and at its most basic, common understanding, the Greek word here means to initiate. God, who initiated us to himself in Christ, has given us this ministry of initiation. That is, in Christ, God has initiated the world to himself, entrusting us with this message of initiation, being community, drawing together, being with one another in Christ. We are the ambassadors for God. And I bet we do this more than we even realize. It's part of our DNA. It's part of the indwelling, the Spirit that lies in each and every one of us. That same Spirit that was promised to you and to me in our baptism. And so it's like that rhythmic inhaling and exhaling that we do every day. To live among God's faithful people, as simple as what you're doing today, being present in a worshiping community, sharing in the life of the church, sharing in each other's joys and sorrows, and then being open to God's faithful people beyond these walls. Because God's church doesn't just belong or exist inside a brick building. God's church is everywhere. So it's about being a good neighbor, seeing others also as God's beloved children. We hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper. Again, here at worship, not only do we hear it through the read scripture, the sermon, but also in the words of the songs we sing, in the liturgies that we respond with. We see it in all of worship, and we integrate the word into our own daily lives through our own prayers, through our own studies and devotions, no matter when that is, morning, noontime, evening, or just a simple walk in appreciating God's great creation. Sharing in the Lord's Supper here today, we will gather around the table, invited by Christ's self, to partake in this gift of grace, tangible bread, wine, for you and for me, for salvation, God's gift to you, unconditional gift. There are no prerequisites to this table. Proclaiming the good news of God in Christ, we practice this through sharing of our own experience of our encounters with God, of how maybe God saw us through a difficult time, sharing with people who we trust. We pray then for those who are waiting to hear such good news and for our own courage that we have the words to share that good news with others. And finally, we plant the seeds of love through our deeds, our actions, scattering acts of kindness through a simple word of grace, even if we mess it up. Because remember, it's about the journey. It's not about perfection, about getting something right. A seed is still planted even if we totally screw it up, because it's the Spirit that goes into that seed that causes it to sprout and to grow. That's not our work, brothers and sisters. That's God's work. To serve all people following the example of Jesus, we simply begin this with those who are closest to us, our families. How do we serve our friends and those immediately around us? And then in our neighborhood, how do we take time to be a better neighbor? How do we engage our community with different acts of service? And how do we serve all people? Asking the question, who is it that God is calling me to serve? And finally, to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Peace begins with you, it begins with me. Where is peace in my own life? With whom might I need to make peace? With our friends, how do our friends treat others with respect, our coworkers? And if not, how might we respond to that? How do you strive for justice and peace in your immediate friendships? Also, considering the neighborhoods, the city around us, considering our workplaces, our school, our communities, where is the Spirit nudging and guiding us to speak of God's justice, of God's peace for all of humanity? This is a simple yet extremely complicated task that God calls us to. As I said, I think it's there much more than we realize, but it's there. Just as we breathe, inhale, and exhale, God's Spirit is working in and through us, whether we recognize it or not. But it's in that recognition that we can give glory to God, be thankful for God's Spirit working in and through us. Because following Christ isn't always easy. Sometimes it's not desirable. Because it means we have to give up. We have to give up our own way. We have to recognize that we aren't perfect, that we stumble, we fall, we stray, we get lost. But God doesn't give up on you. God doesn't give up on me. And it's through gifts like the covenant of baptism that give us tools and opportunities in which we can be guided, be transformed, and brought anew through unexpected changes that we might not even imagined. Because God is always making things new. We hear this in our text today. He saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. According to God's mercy, not our actions, not our works, but according to God's mercy. Brothers and sisters, faith is a journey, one that's filled with detours, potholes, but also ones that have beautiful scenery. It's one that stretches from the time we are born until we take our final breath on this earth. And it is in our own death that our baptisms are made complete, where we're united in the life and death of Christ. And so each day we say, I do, and I ask God to guide and help me. We say I do to our baptism, saying yes. Yes, God loves me. Yes, God is well pleased with me. Yes, God is always with me. Yes, God gives me strength. Yes, God claims me as God's own. Yes, I do believe. Yes, I do trust God's promises for me and for all of humanity. Yes. Yes, because God first said yes to you, said yes to me, and continues to do so forever. We say I do because God loves you and because God loves through you. Amen.